been in lockdown for, what, a couple of weeks now? And this is the second week since we moved to level 4 lockdown restrictions. There have been lots of debates around the rationality to continue with the lockdown. Some business groups and some political parties argue that the lockdown can't continue further. The economy must open because what the lockdown was intended for has been achieved. And that was to prepare our health system, right? So there have been flip-flops as well from government in terms of regulations governing the lockdown, be it the sale of tobacco products, whether you talk about the sale of hot foods under level 5, the confusion around the capacity allowed in taxis. Remember what Fikile Mbalula, the transport minister, said? So there's a lot. And now there are discussions around the National Command Council and how that body was constituted and whether or not it has the powers to take the decisions that it's been taking, even though they are ratified by government. We now know there's information that government is even keeping from us as the public to avoid causing panic. We haven't been addressed by the president in what? Is it 3 weeks now? So what I want to ask you is, has your trust for the president and his team diminished as a result of all these conversations and debates? Do you still trust him, his administration, you know, that they're taking the right decisions to lead us through this pandemic? You can give me a call. I want to bring into this conversation Dr. Ralph Matecha, who's a political analyst. Ralph, I know you don't like it when I call you Dr. Matecha, but you are Dr. Matecha. Good afternoon. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon, Clement. Good afternoon to your listeners. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's start with the kind of opposition we're beginning to see from opposition parties like the DA, you know, some business organization like Business for South Africa, on the continued lockdown. They've come up to advocate for the reopening of the economy, arguing that the decision to continue with the lockdown will cause more damage to the country. What are we reading from this rise in opposition of the decisions of the National Command Council?
I think that on the first note, Clement, it also shows that there is acceptance among South Africans, among those who are speaking, those in the business sector, that we are going to have to learn to live with this virus. And government itself has been admitting in snippets of messages, Clement, that the virus is not going to go away anytime soon. It will peak in September, so forth. And even the president saying we could be having this into 2021, further into 2022 if we don't have a vaccine. So I think people are saying that, look, we cannot pursue extreme measures as if we will arrive at extreme result. An extreme result is a total elimination of the virus here, or a complete suppression of the spread of the virus. That seems to be impossible, Clement, if you look at the numbers and you look at where we are going. So what should we do? It's about, I think people are saying that let us be realistic, because we need to balance as well about the economy. And again, it's not really about choice here. I mean, it's not about a choice between the economy and people's lives, but it is about balancing the risk and making sure that the society generally adapts to having to live with such kind of virus.
And I mean, the argument that government will make, Ralph, is that that National Command Council and Cabinet, the decisions that they take around the risk that they observe, they take advice from experts on the economy, on health, on this virus, and whether or not continuing the lockdown is going to help us in the long run. What are these people that are now beginning to oppose what seems to be the continued lockdown? What are they looking for exactly? Do they want to be part of the decision-making structures, do you think?
I think, I mean, people are looking at issues on the ground. I'll give you an example. There are certain things that are beginning not to make mathematical sense here. And it's just a question of common sense. You don't have to be an actuary to understand this. You just have to understand mathematics. I mean, when we entered the lockdown, the aim was to flatten the curve, to make sure we don't have an increase in terms of the spread of the virus. But we are having an increase. So unless government can say to us that the increase that you have had is still better compared to what you would have had we not gone into the lockdown. And government will have to give the figures here about its projection. The big problem, Clement, is that government seems to be working on a set of projections that it does not want to share. So even when this virus is spreading, some people might be scared, but you might find in terms of government projection, it's actually better. But we don't know. So people are looking into those things to be saying that But if this is what is the development on the ground in terms of the spread of the virus, the economy is suffering. You are having all the problems now and you are sacrificing the economy. Why can't you listen and try to balance? And I think people are coming from that point of view. I don't think people are coming from the point of view of just being lobbyists who want to sell their own product. They're anchoring their positions on the rationality of what government is doing. And government is not sharing enough information. I think there is an outcry about the level of details that government is willing to share with the people.
Mm. And I think beyond the criticism from some, you know, political parties, there's also been this need coming from some quarters that they need to be represented in the decision-making structures. And one wonders if they're not asking for too much. Is that reasonable? Because at the end of the day, the ANC is the governing party. South Africans have given them the mandate to take crucial decisions, even in situations like we are facing now. Of course, the opposition must question some decisions, play their oversight role in parliament, approach the courts if they want to challenge those decisions, but expecting to play a role, or is that understandable, given that these are extraordinary times?
Well, I think people are frustrated because at the beginning, government seemed to have shut everybody out with this National Command Council taking full control of this government. And I think by that time, the idea was to act rapidly, have a fast decision-making processes. But I think in good spirit, government should have attempted maybe to put together a structure of some sort, a multilateral, organizational structure involving NGOs or whatever groups that you can talk about here, so that there is some level of exchanging of ideas and so forth. That would not mean that that group is now taking over the work of the National Command Council. The function would have been to feed into that, but government has missed that opportunity. And the question of participation here and consultation is now being demanded because people feel they've been left out. So, unfortunately, government will have to make a concession, but they should have started better with this, the way in which I see.
What about parliamentary committees, Ralph? Because that's part of their job, to provide that oversight over the executive. You know, members of the DA, members of any other political party, can raise their issues in that forum, as we have seen with some of the ministers appearing before those committees. Surely that's also a structure that opposition parties can use to raise their unhappiness about how the National Command Council and some of the ministries are taking decisions on this pandemic.
That is the decision. That is something that was proposed by the DA much earlier, to constitute an oversight committee on the functioning of the work on the to exercise oversight on this coronavirus function. So it was just shut down. And actually, I will be honest with you that actually nobody seems to have been interested in it by that time in South Africa. The DA was just a lone ranger suggesting all that, because in that first week of the hard lockdown, probably everybody was scared to start asking questions that we need oversight. How are we going to exercise oversight? But now I've seen people are saying that, look, the opportunities for corruption and so forth, and this committee has to also account, and you are seeing the call for this. And I think oversight is where we are headed with this. Mm. But those are things that you suggested earlier, and they were actually shut down, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's so unfortunate, because at the beginning there was this social compact between, you know, government and the various stakeholders. The president met with the political parties, business, labor. And one wonders if this rise in opposition of some of the decisions taken by the Command Council or cabinet is a sign that people are losing patience and maybe even trust with government. Mandy Wiener actually wrote a column for News 24 today, and she argues that, and I quote, "The president hasn't addressed the nation in nearly 3 weeks now. If we are doing this social compact, he needs to show us that he's part of it too, and that the trust we have placed in him is still earned." End quote. What does the president's strategy needs to be, Ralph, going forward to ensure he still enjoys that trust and confidence of political parties, business, labor, and also reaffirms that commitment of the social compact?
The basics of it is that you cannot put soldiers on the ground and enforce social compact. Social compact is based on volunteer relations that are based on trust, that are built on trust. And if you had started on the basis of trust, you would have deferred to people on certain things. You would have actually tried to follow the approach that says that we are not going to just prescribe the rules in that manner. We will work with communities and community-based organizations. Mm. And I think we can still go back there where we bring in other social partners, where other partners hold hands with government to facilitate that we continue to behave as we go further. Because this is just the beginning. We still have a long way to go on this.
Ralph Matekga, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Thank you, Dr. Ralph Matekga, a political analyst.